All right.
I got it.
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, we still getting it together.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
All right, everybody, it's Thursday, February 2nd, 2012, and we'd like to welcome you to our second annual Super Bowl Spectacular. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and alongside me at the Super Bowl Roundtable is Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. Tonight, we'll be talking everything Super Bowl 46 and any NFL stories surrounding or related to it. We want to get your take on a big matchup as well, so hop into that JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. And if you want to call into the show and give your take, you can dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. We want to give a quick shout-out to our radio partners. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also follow those guys on Twitter at the BS Line. If you love good sports talk, then you'll have a great time riding on that Broad Street line. Now Jimmy's going to let us know who's having a birthday.
It's my birthday. Yay!
What's up, gentlemen? Y'all ready to go to work?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Cool. I never take a day off.
I heard that. The birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon, which is located at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Some of you young ladies are walking around looking like a bed out of hell, and you need to go see you. That's the Days of Beauty Hair Salon. Anyway, let's jump right into the birthdays. The first birthday is one Sean Michael Elliott, who turns 44.
My birthday.
Doc Bay, when I say Sean Elliott, what comes to mind?
Yo,
okay.
I think your mic is muted.
That's what came to mind.
That's what came to mind. All right, let me go to you, Dev. Dev, when I say when I give you the name Sean Elliott, what comes to mind?
First of all, weren't we just talking about Sean Elliott for some reason, like a few weeks ago on the show? Yeah, I got a case of the deja vu right here, but when I think of Sean Elliott, you know, you think of the kidney problems that he had, the transplant. He even played after the fact, and you always got to think about his the back of his feet hovering over the out of bounds line when he shot that three from the corner. I know we talked about this before because I remember B. Austin saying the exact same thing about his feet.
No.
Sean Elliott getting too much burn.
I'm about to say, I think you really are having deja vu because I'm not familiar with that conversation. But anyway, B. Austin, when I say Sean Elliott, what do you think of?
Same thing as Doc Bayon. It's like, no. another victim, I mean, a guy that played pretty good defense, but, you know, added to the legacy of MJ by being destroyed. Did a noble act, gave his kidney up. But when he came back from the kidney replacement, I don't know what kidney's got to do with basketball, but he was trash.
He didn't give it up. I thought he got one from his brother or something like that.
Oh, got one?
How do you find a way to put Michael Jordan into every birthday?
He got nothing to do with Michael Jordan.
Hey, stop bringing up guys that got dealt with by Mike.
Hey, my bad. Yeah, I was muted. I was rapping, like, you know. But anyway, everything exactly what Dev said. That shot in the corner with his tippy-toeing the three-point line. And the thing is, that was like one of Rasheed Wallace's best games ever. I mean, he was destroying Tim Duncan like he was a wet paper towel that he was just walking right through and showing them whatever they wanted and giving D. Robinson the business. And then Portland was up like 18 or 20 in the first half, and that three, like, sparked San Antonio to win that game and then eventually the series. So that's what comes to mind.
Yeah, it's sad when you think about the history of Portland. Like, they have so many, like, you know, games like that. And then, you know, in terms of their drafting and the players getting injured, like, what's up with Portland, yo? But definitely you think of him and his medical issues. But he was a quality player. And I also think of Arizona because he was a beast there. Okay, next birthday. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, y'all remember when he got traded? Like, he got traded to the Pistons and then went back to the Spurs. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's one of those loyal lifers.
Yeah. Stopping him. But anyway, next birthday is one Donald Jerome Driver, who turns 37. So I'm going to start with you, Dev, this time. When I say the name Donald Driver, what comes to mind?
Donald Driver, very, very solid receiver for a lot of years. I don't know. What I really think about him first, I probably shouldn't say on the radio, but he looked like one of my ex-girlfriend's moms. not that she looked like, I mean, she was a nice-looking woman. Not that she was like a dude or anything. It looked like Donald Driver could be her brother or something like that.
Oh,
that's
man.
Always the first thing I think of when I think of Donald Driver for some reason, yeah. I knew that's how y'all was going to take it, like I was saying. She
looked
like a dude.
Man.
But
I don't even know what to say after that. Donald Driver, what do you think of outside of Dev's mom?
Yeah, well, I was about to say the same thing that Dev said. Like, no, I'm just playing. But Donald Driver, I mean, solid receiver, you know, perennial 1,000-yard performer, and, you know, had the chance to play with the Packers under your favorite quarterback, Favre, and then now under with Rodgers, and that's about it. Solid receiver.
Yo, how about you, B. Austin?
Yo.
No Jordan references.
Dev was pile driving Donald Driver's sister's daughter. When I think of Donald Driver, I gotta apologize to the dude because I've been trashing him for years, but he really is good. And, you know, give him his due on his birthday. He's been a baller for many years. I don't think he has plans to retire either.
Okay. When I think of Donald Driver, I think of New Jersey Drive because I remember hearing stories about how when he was a kid, he had, like, a lot of issues as a kid. And, you know, he was arrested for stealing cars, more or less. So, anyway, shout out to him, his birthday. The next birthday I want to bring up is one Wayne Fonts. He turned 72. Remember Wayne Fonts?
My birthday, yeah! My birthday, yay!
That's the remix right there. Doc Bay, when I say Wayne Fonts, what do you think of?
I think the Thanksgiving and the Lions getting trashed every Thanksgiving and us wondering why they're playing on Thanksgiving, and then him always sitting at the podium in the post-game press conference with the do you think you're going to get fired face year after year, and then him finally being fired, and that was it. But, yo, he was he put together some solid squads when they had Scott Mitchell as the quarterback, Herman Moore as the receiver, Brett Perryman and Barry Sanders, and, like, Scott Mitchell threw for, like, 4,000 yards, Barry rushed for, like, 1,800 yards, and the receivers went for, like, 1,000 apiece. So there you go.
Okay. When I say Wayne Fonts, what do you think of?
Yeah, he had that.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just about to say, you know, Kill named all the components of his run and shoot offense. I don't remember if Wayne Fonts was an offensive or defensive guy, so I don't know who gets the credit on that team for implementing the run and shoot, but they did have a pretty exciting offense. But like Kill said, they're the Lions. They always stunk either way.
Yeah, he looked like somebody from my team.
But I got my. I got my switchboard back up and working, fellas. I'm good.
All right, no doubt. Right. He also, Wayne Fonts.
Yo, I don't understand how his offense had that many tools and was that good, and the Lions were that bad as a team.
Well,
I think that year they won like 11 games that year, 11 or 12 games, particularly.
The Lions now got a bunch of offense, and they still lose. So
Is that the year they got trashed by the Eagles in the playoffs?
I think so.
They got beat like 56-26. And Rodney
yeah,
Pete.
Wasn't it Rodney Pete? Rodney Pete smiling and everything, looking all crazy. Yeah, Wayne Fonts look like somebody from My Cousin Vinny. But, you know, the last birthday is an RIP shout-out to one George Stanley Howard. George Howard. Anybody want to say any thoughts about George Howard?
I was going to say RIP to Papa Bear. That's what they called him. He was, if I'm not mistaken, he was like one of the co-founders of the NFL. And, of course, he was the storied Chicago Bears coach back in the Dizay. But dude was born in 1895, so there's
yeah,
not much I know.
I call him old man Papa Bear either, though. You know what I'm saying? Sorry, he playing adult films, yo. Papa Bear. Shout out to Gina.
Oh,
yo, with that being said, those are the birthdays. Dev, tell everybody what happened while they were on the grind.
All right. Our On the Grind segment is brought to you by PhillyAutoDesign.com. You can go there or you can go to WarRoomSports.com, go to our sponsors page, click on the logo, and you can see the hottest selection of rims and tires on the internet. So, while you guys were on the grind, Jose Reyes, the new shortstop for the Miami Marlins, he's going to cut his dreadlocks because the team, you know, mandates that every player has short hair. So he's going to cut his dreadlocks tomorrow, but he's going to televise it on MLB Network. Any of you guys got any problem with him, one, cutting his dreads, and two, televising it on national TV?
Yo, I told you the other day, for that kind of cheese, I will cut off my thumb.
Oh, and for people who don't know what he's making, they gave him a 5 or 6 year contract worth $106 million. So before you
yo,
go
I
off on,
my
the,
on national TV for $106 million. I'm sorry.
Get your Toby on. Cut
yeah,
your foot off.
Yo, cut my foot off, yo.
Yeah. I look at it as one of those cases where you have two type of people who lock their hair, and it's the people where it has some kind of cultural meaning to them, and then you have the people that are just following the fad. Obviously, he knows the policy before he even signs there, so obviously it didn't mean that much to him because Jose Reyes could have gotten that kind of contract pretty much anywhere on the market. So if he signed there and didn't mind cutting off his hair, he's probably the fad follower, and it's not a big deal to him. It's obviously not a big deal because he's going to do it on TV, and I wonder who, you know, that probably was his idea.
He probably got some sponsorship,
you know,
for that.
I'm not mad at it. I know a lot of people get upset. Like, how they going to make him cut his hair? Hey, it's a part of their policy. The Yankees, you got to have short hair. You can't have a beard. If you don't want to do that, then don't sign with the Yankees. Any thoughts?
This is another unscrupulous machination of the white man to keep a brother down in the MLB. I don't support it. And I think that it's a travesty. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us.
Yeah. That's funny. That's funny. But enough about Jose Reyes. Austin, your man, Dwight Howard, is back in the news early this week. You know, after another loss, he ripped his teammates saying, you know, he looked around the locker room at halftime, and he see a bunch of guys who look like they don't want to play, and he thinks if you don't want to play, then you shouldn't go back out there. And then the next day, he promptly goes back into media mode and tells the world that the Chicago Bulls are now on his wish list. What do you got to say about your man, Three Heads Howard?
I don't know what the guys on the Orlando Magic roster would do, because they are still getting paid millions of dollars. But I know what I would do if I was playing on a men's league team with one of y'all, and y'all started talking about wanting to get traded. I slump his big behind and put him in a locker, because he's obviously not tough.
It might take a couple of y'all to do that, though. It's a big dude.
Man, dudes with big muscles can't fight.
Yo, the thing is, yo, I got some words for him in my PTR about his behavior, but And then again, looking around his team, and you see like Larry Hughes and Quentin Richardson, yo.
Yo, that's like this is getting cornier and cornier. Remember, Carmelo was doing the same thing last year, and I believe I had a PTR about him crying and saying, I want to leave, I want to go, and we all see how that's working out. All I'm saying is, one, homie, continue to work on your game, make your foul shots, and just play ball. Like, why are you talking about this in the middle of the season? And his teammates probably gave up on him. Stan Van Gundy probably gave up on him. It's like, since those comments, they've been averaging like 67 points a game or something. So he needs to shut up and play ball.
Yeah, I mean, because the trade is going to happen. Everybody knows how you feel. So it's like there's no use now. I think he wants to keep ripping them in the media so he can basically say that I'm building my proverbial case to get out of town, and you'll see why I want to get out of town. We already know you want to get out of town, so I don't think he needs to keep bashing them. And as I looked on the monitor, I saw that your boy Skip Bayless he's having some kind of one-on-one interview in a dimly lit room with Tim Tebow. I hope somebody brought some comments.
I hope John Gruden isn't around.
He don't have to be around the way Skip Bayless be slurping the ball. I hope he either bought some protection or.
On another note, just touching on that Dwight Howard thing. To be honest with you, you know, I be letting LeBron have it for being a noodle, but I think this is actually worse than the decision.
I don't know about Howard. At the end of the day, I still don't know whether Dwight is, or even if it's not him. But I'll get into it because I don't know how the information is getting out. But the decision, like, yo, you took up a
decision.
The decision's on a whole other level.
Yeah, it's not worse than the decision, in my opinion. I mean,
hey, yo,
somebody breathing into their mic real loud. But I don't think the decision. I mean, I think the decision was worse. I don't think LeBron did anything wrong by, you know, leaving the team and all that kind of stuff. He was a free agent. Carmelo and Dwight, they're forcing trades. They're not even free agents yet. So, you know, that act is worse than anything LeBron did, but nothing nothing they're doing in the media is worse than the decision. That was just egregious.
You're forcing a trade and you're pooping on your teammates and yet you're going out and playing.
Okay. He scheduled an hour special to poop on him.
An hour special, yo. Disrespect.
Hey, yo.
Disrespect the whole
thing. Hey, yo, Carmelo. I mean, if Ray Lewis is on his team, you think he'd be acting like that? If Ray Lewis was on the team,
probably wouldn't have heard anything.
First off, they probably wouldn't be as bad as they are. So you know. But that's a whole other story.
But they weren't bad until last week.
Yeah.
They weren't bad until last week. J.R. Smith, man, his sister, is back at it. Earlier in the week, he was getting heckled while he was on the foul line. A fan, this is the Chinese league, by the way, a fan throws a thunder stick onto the floor, and J.R. Smith's sister and girlfriend, you know, break out into fisticuffs in the crowd for the second time in about a week and a half. And then they're promptly escorted out the building. Like, what do you guys think about this? J.R. needs to find some kind of way to get bought out of his contract so he can just leave before he's assassinated over there in China.
Yeah. All I have to say, like I said before and a couple of shows ago, like if they keep this up, with them being in China, there's no United States jurisdiction there. They may get a knock on the door in the middle of the night one day, and they may come through and say, oh, I guess they're not. Oh, there we go.
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says, your services are no longer needed in the community.
And we know what happened after that.
At the end, they're going to say, watch out! It's going to be
man.
Have y'all seen his girlfriend, though? Did y'all see pictures of her? If not, I'm going to post them on our Facebook page. She has just as many tattoos as he does. Like, her whole neck and chest is like one giant tattoo. Like, I'll find the picture now and post it during the show. It's crazy.
What'd you say?
Is he trying to get out of his contract?
Yeah.
He well, he's
yeah.
been trying to get out of it since
lockout. Yeah, he's been trying to get out of it.
But China's
so
not trying to
hit it. He gonna keep causing ruckus until they let him go?
Remember the knee injury? That was a fake. He faked that.
Yeah, he tried to roll with that. He put up 60 that last game, so he's out there balling.
So he put that numbers for causing ruckus in the stands. They ain't letting him go. When I first heard the story and I saw that it was his sister again, yo, I was like, come on, man. I was, yo.
Chuck, they must be on the pipe, right?
The pitch. That's the first thing I said, yo. She on drugs or something, man. Cause, yo, why are you in China causing ruckus, man?
Yo, why does his sister look like her name is Earl?
That's his name.
Yo,
his name is Earl.
Remember, his name is Earl.
J.R. Earl.
His sister looks like her name is Earl, and she drives a truck, and she drinks something in a brown paper bag.
Yo, he said Earl, but yeah, he's over there putting up numbers. So
Earl gonna come looking for you, fam. You better cut that out.
She can fight.
I'll give Earl my address. You can see me.
All right, she probably learned a few things over there in China. But your boy Mike Tyson, he's being inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame, and they're gonna do this on March 31st, prior to like WrestleMania 867. What do you guys think about that? You know, he made a few appearances where he was like a special referee or announcer. I don't watch WWE anymore. But what do you guys think about Mike going into that Hall of Fame?
I mean, it's just to get attention. The funny thing is, that shows you just how.
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
That shows you how big of a name he has for the simple fact that his name is still being used to, like, sell events.
Yo, I support Mike in anything he does. So I'm biased. I'm happy.
He said he's happy. I mean, they ain't let Coco be wearing yet. If Coco be wearing, get in, he shouldn't get
Mike,
in yet.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that?
My back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or
well,
what portion?
Spinal.
Cole Steve Austin broke my back.
As a matter of fact, I was just told that Coco Beware got in the Hall of Fame in 2009, so they could let Mike.
He should have been in the Hall of Fame. Hey, Coco Beware should have been in the Hall of Fame. He was like the Saturday the Saturday special guy. You know, on the Saturday WWF, like the big timers didn't wrestle, but Coco Beware and Lee Belani Poffo always wrestled.
They were the young boys.
Lee Belani.
Lee Belani Poffo, yeah.
A big strong nigga that knocks out people and rapes people and rips off people.
All right, well, keeping it with the pugilistic arts, Floyd Mayweather Jr. sends another tweet. He sent it yesterday, and the tweet read, I'll be fighting Miguel Cotto on May 5th because Miss Pac-Man is ducking me. What do you guys think about the fight that everybody's waiting for? Once again, it's not going to happen until maybe a later date, if it happens at all. Are we tired of this yet?
Cowards and camels have been known to talk a lot.
Yo, all I know is
camels talk.
I'm getting to the point where I don't care, but I just find it interesting that that Bob Arum is getting so much money. I was looking at something the other day on a boxing website where they had pulled from the Nevada Las Vegas Commission on Boxing, and after purses are paid out, the highest amount of money that Manny has ever got was like $7 million, which means that the majority of his purse every fight is going to Bob Arum. He's going to protect that. Floyd knows that he's going to protect that, so he's just talking at this point to hear himself talk and get the public on his side. But
that's because dude, he gets his joint advanced, So I'm pretty sure that's like only extra he's ever gotten, which is still a ripoff because even after he gets his advance, like the kind of money that they bring in the gate, he should still get a bigger cut than what Bob Arum probably gave him.
Yo, but the bottom line is when you see that, that's just more evidence of why the fight won't happen. It has nothing to do with who's scared of who. It goes all back to
money. You know what I'm about to root for, though? I'm about to root for both of these dudes to get, like, stretched real nasty by their next opponent. Like stretched nasty like Roy Jones Jr. be getting stretched. And then we can just stop talking about it because nobody's going to want to see it after they both get stretched. So,
Roy's still fighting. Yo, Roy's fighting in, like, a different country. He be, like, in Istanbul, Turkey. Like,
it's a shame when he loses. Every time he loses now, it's like you have to worry about him maybe almost dying in the ring. He's asleep in the ring every time he loses.
Yo, he got his boots stretched so bad last time.
Roy,
no way you can tell he ain't had no perks. Good, I'm sorry.
Roy gives you like 3 minutes of the old Roy and then 10 minutes of the new Roy, and then he goes to sleep.
Yo, Roy don't even have no old Roy left. That Roy is, as a matter of fact, that Roy was overrated anyway. He's been a bum.
I'm about to say,
nah,
he had no
nice.
Old Roy
he
left because he had
nice.
No old Roy opponents left.
Roy ain't never been nice, man. Roy is fighting trash men in civil service. He ain't never been nice.
If Roy would have stayed his weight, then he would have retired undefeated. He had no competition, so he had to go from, like, the top part of middleweight to heavyweight.
Yeah, I mean he did have to move up because his division was full of stiffs, but you know he fought them stiffs.
Roy ain't ducked nobody but B Hop.
There you go. Well, he shouldn't duck nobody.
All right, man. Here's a story.
He beat B Hop though.
Here's a story that's probably
B Hop got cheated. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dev.
Oh. Here's a story that's probably a shame to a lot of people out there. But a hero of Philadelphia, Allen Iverson, he's been commandeered by a Georgia judge. Well, actually, they didn't commandeer him. They commandeered his bank account because his bank account is being garnished for $375,000 worth of unpaid jewelry that he got from Aiden and Company Jewelers a few years back. He was sued in 2010. So since he didn't pay up, the garnishment is for more than the price of the jewelry, which was $375. What they're collecting from him is $859,896.46, and that's for the jewelry bill, the court costs, interest, and attorney fees. Yo, what's going on with AM? Is he broke? Are the reports true? Is he broke? Like, why are you still buying $300-something thousand worth of jewelry? Like,
you know, it's one of them things where, like, back in the day, we said one day he's going to grow up and he's going to realize that, you know, he has to get his act together.
Evidently.
I don't think that day will ever come.
Yeah. Well, it's not going to come while he has money. He might become a wise old broke-ass man, but it's not going to come while he got money. Because, seriously, like, when do certain things get old? Like, why do you have to have that much jewelry? You know, why do you still have braids in your head? Like, why are you still taking care of people who are old enough to take care of themselves? Like, it's a lot of whys in this situation. I hate to see AI going down this road, man. It hurts my heart.
Yo, I got something for this. Like, $400,000 in jewelry? Like, that's like, was he still in the league when he was racking up this bill? Or is this, like, afterwards? Like, $400,000, like,
they didn't
that's,
sue
that's,
him until 2010, so I'm pretty sure he was still in the league because they don't just sue you right off the bat. It take a while to get sued, and look at how much he has to pay in attorney fees, court costs, stuff like that. Like, that's ridiculous.
Hey, so he just you think he just thought that he could just burn them and like nothing would happen? Like, he could just walk away?
He could at least offer to do a commercial for him or something. Like, you just don't leave. Like,
I did a little research, aka I looked around the internet and read, and it seems to indicate that the boy was, as of 2010, 2011, his net worth is somewhere close to $25 million. Now, that's still quite a bit of money and well enough to live off of, but when you think about how much he's made in endorsements and salary, yo, that's less than 10% of the money that he's actually made, because he's made like
$150 million.
Yeah.
He's made like $150 million. And, I, you know, I'm not all in the dude bank account or anything, but well, you did say worth. You didn't say he had $25 million.
Yeah, but, no, that ain't liquid. That ain't liquid. Yeah. Net worth.
You know, and half of that worth, his mom probably owned that stuff.
Yo, it's crazy how these cats be, you know, speaking of AI and even T.O., man, like, you know, T.O. went through $67 million and, you know, yo, it's just crazy how these guys, you know what they should do? They should, like, have a rookie symposium and say, no more black cards. So between the black cards and, I guess, the strip clubs. And
they need to have a veteran symposium.
They need to let the broke people come back. They need to let the broke people come back to the symposium and talk to them like, yo, I had this much money and I'm broke right now.
Intervention. Yeah. My thing is real talk. I can understand AI because we all are familiar with how he used to roll and what he used to do. But T.O., how's T.O.? Yo, T.O. don't buy no good green. T.O. don't drink.
He got four baby mamas, man.
Four baby moms.
He paying $44,000 a year in child support and he has no job.
Yeah, it'd be different if he had four babies by one mom or then two by two. But four by four, you know, that's the cost go up. That's four court dates instead of one or two.
And he said that that's crazy because it's true. It's like T.O.'s lifestyle. Like I was reading about him and they were saying his most extravagant car was a Range Rover. Now that's, it's a luxury car. Before an athlete who's like a star athlete, that's like
a
get around.
He doesn't splurge his money.
He just has made bad business decisions. You know,
hold up, fellas. This dude got a hyperbaric chamber in his crib. Probably costs more than any car you could think of.
That's true.
That's a write off. That's for work.
How do you answer this as a dude? You have to treat it like chase money. Like, yo, you sign your contract, but you can't get a bulk of it until you retire. You can't even get no money until you retire. You still get a nice salary, but you get a bulk of your money. Your money's put up for you until you retire.
Yeah.
That's funny, though.
Hey, yo,
responsible dude like Shaq. That's what Shaq did. Shaq saved all of his
Shaq never spent the NBA check.
He never spent the game check.
A hyperbaric chamber only costs about between $5,000 and $10,000, depending on which model you get.
I take that back. I might give me a hyperbaric chamber then.
$5,000 to
$10,000. That's what them cats did on their
rim. Check. Got me a hyperbaric
Can you get a hyperbaric chamber? Nope. Because I might lease me a hyperbaric
chamber. Somewhere as low as $150 a month.
All right, I got to freshen up my body so I can play with my son when he's older.
Research leads me to believe they still have one.
It just sounds expensive. It's hyperbaric.
For real. Hey, yo, real quick, I got another thing on the Roy Jones point. I just wanted to add that he started out as a light heavyweight at 147 and ended his career as a heavyweight at 200. That's a 50-pound swing. That's all I wanted to say.
He's going strong for Roy.
And he didn't lose his first fight until he became a light heavyweight. Before that, he was undefeated.
Yeah, now he don't lose divisions. He damn near lose life. Like three divisions maybe. Alright, but you know, this week was like the week of the dunk. We had two dunks that people were saying, oh, these are the greatest dunks of all time, which I don't agree with. But we had the LeBron James dunk where he jumps over John Lucas Jr.'s head to catch an alley-oop. And then you had the Blake Griffin throwdown, if you will, because, you know, he barely touched the rim, over Little Mouth, Scowl Face, Kendrick Perkins. Which dunk, real quick before we move on, do you guys think was the better dunk of the week?
Kill, what was
the better one for you, Kill?
I'd say the Blake Griffin by far, only because he took the contact in the air, and then Kendrick Perkins, supposed to be a guy that could protect the basket. With LeBron's was actually kind of easy. Like, he just jumped up, like, oh, John Lucas, let me just lift my leg up over you, and then dunk it, where Blake Griffin's was actually more difficult and powerful.
It was easy because it was LeBron. It was easy. Bron. Jimmy, which one you think is better?
Yeah, I like the Iggy over Kyle Korver dunk. But no, seriously though, I would say Blake Griffin just because Kendrick Perkins is known as a defender and he challenged the shot. John Lucas didn't even know he was
defender,
coming.
Man, he's a hack, and he hacked him.
From an athletic standpoint, LeBron's
crazy what he do.
Because it's like, you know, from an athletic standpoint, LeBron's maybe crazier because he basically jumped over dude. But just from like. Just from a dunking, like watching the dunks in history, like he dunked it so hard and didn't even touch the rim. It's just violent, yo. It's like violent.
PJ.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with the light skin high jumper because Blake Griffin's dunk was, it was like Jimmy said, it was like violent, and there was crazy body contact, and if you looked at Blake's motion, it looked like he sucker punched him. Not a sucker punch, but he looked like he roundhouse punched him. Like his motion, like we talk about people getting dunked on, getting punched on. It really looked like he punched Kendrick Perkins in the face. And I know we always joke about his mouth and how disproportionate his features are spread across his face, but I know after that dunk, until Blake shot the foul shot, his mouth got progressively smaller. If y'all looked at it, when y'all looked at the replay, his mouth got a little bit smaller. His nostrils got a little wider. All in like that, like 90-second time frame after the dunk.
Yo, before we get to you, Austin, we got some breaking news. The doctors have cleared Peyton Manning to resume his career. So we're gonna talk about Peyton a little bit later on the show anyway. So that just gives us, you know, some more stuff for the conversation. The conversation might go a little differently than it would have before we had this news. So Austin, which dunk did you think was the better one?
I'm a surprise, folks. I think, you know, I'm a Blake Stanley. I admit it, and I thoroughly enjoyed Perkins getting dunked on because I want to rumble him for his contract. I think I could win because he's not tough as he pretends to be, and we all know how I go in on LeBron. But I think LeBron's dunk was more impressive, just simply because he leapt over another human being. And if you look at how far away he took off from the basket, I think we all look at LeBron as being, you know, 6'9", 270, tremendous leaper, tremendous athlete. But to be able to leap from that far away, catch the ball, and complete a dunk and avoid getting hit by the backboard because he was high enough that his shoulder could have hit the backboard, I'll go with LeBron.
I agree with you for all of the points that you just made. I just think that it's really impressive. You know, a lot of people said to me this week, well, dude is 5'10 on his best day. That doesn't matter. What the hell? That doesn't matter. Like, when's the last time, I mean, you just seen a dude scale a 6-foot human being, and he did it by mistake because he was just going for the alley-oop. John Lucas Jr. backed into him, trying to box him out, and when LeBron saw the dude come under him, he just folded his legs up, caught the rock, and dunked it. But I think, like, the violence is what gives the Blake Griffin dunk, you know,
it just gives it its moxie.
I still go with LeBron.
No one likes Kendrick Perkins. So
the violence and also the fact that it was Perkins. Like, if LeBron had dunked that over Perkins as opposed to the crack baby, then it would have been a little bit different.
I don't think that's true. I don't think no one. Where'd you get the no one likes Kendrick Perkins? That's why I don't like Kendrick Perkins, because so many people like and overrate him. People love that dude.
Well.
He's corny. But that's what happened, everybody, this week while y'all were on the grind.
Okay, it's time to pass the red rock. Pass the Rock is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. For more information, visit warroomsports.com and look at our sponsors, and you shall see Bay Financial Services. Get your money right. You know, tax time coming up. Y'all letting people claim your kids. So you might as well just holler at Bay Financial Services. At any rate, what I'm going to do this time is I'm going to inbound the rock to Brother Dev so you can let everybody know what's on your mind, good brother.
All right. Thank you, good brother. And while I got the rock in my hand, I'm going to go ahead and tell everybody. I just wanted to say a couple of quick things about just the 2-week layoff leading up to the Super Bowl. I'm starting to think that it's too much. I understand, like, the two Super Bowl teams. It's really fair for you to do it because if you have nagging injuries, you want to give stuff time to heal. But the hype leading up to the Super Bowl, it starts to border on stupid, like, probably 7 or 8 days in. And media day is one of the biggest culprits. Now, I'm not a proponent for getting rid of media day, but I do think they should make it. I mean, it shouldn't just be a, you know, just straight up serious session. But I think some of the clown stuff that goes on during media day, I think they should start banning that stuff because a lot of people look to go there just to put their name on the map. Going there in all kinds of costumes, asking a whole bunch of stupid questions. And we'll get into that a little later, too, because I wrote down some of the questions that were asked yesterday to Tom Brady. But, you know, and then, you know, the rest of the week is going to be overanalyzation of the game. People are going to switch their pick about 34 times because they're going to think of something new and another reason why this team is going to win. And it's just all too much. But I digress because I don't really know what they can do about it. I just wanted to vent on a little bit. And real quick before I finish, you know, I just wanted to mention all my Chicago friends have been real quiet since last night. I heard a lot of popping off and yapping before the Sixers and Bulls played. But then, you know, when the Sixers rolled their asses last night, I haven't heard from anybody from the city of Chicago ever since. So, you know, I'm wondering where you guys are. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and pass the rock to my man, Dr. Bayon. Dr. Bayon, hit him.
Yo, I appreciate that. Yeah, man, the Bulls, my Bulls got trounced by, that was like our worst loss of the year. It's crazy. So the Sixers, yeah, they're doing their thing. And the Sixers, I guess they're back. It seems the Sixers are back much more than the Knicks are. All right. Now, good evening, War Room family. I just have a couple of blurbs. First of all, the Pro Bowl was whack, as usual. Andrew Luck is looking to play right away. So what does that mean for Peyton Manning and the Indianapolis Colts? Now, Peyton Manning said that the environment is different in Indy after everyone he basically knew on the staff has been fired. But recently, Peyton and the owner sent out a mutual statement saying that everything's okay. But I tell you this, the Colts are not going to pay Peyton Manning his $28 million bonus. So expect Peyton Manning to end up in D.C. with the Redskins, which I don't even see how that makes sense. The Jets in New York, the 49ers, so I guess they're just going to have to crap on Alex Smith and just say, just sit on the bench for a few years, homie, and then you can start again. The Titans in Tennessee, since he went to the University of Tennessee. Or the Cardinals, and they'll just probably say, hey, Kevin Cobb, sit on the bench again for a couple of years like you did behind McNabb and you know, let Peyton do his thing. And also, Adrian Peterson, running back for the Vikings, was going to change his number to 23, but then he realized that he would have to pay $1 million to buy all the number 28 Adrian Peterson jerseys that have been printed. And, yeah, so he decided not to. He said, you know what, you know, that's my work number, or in his case, slave number, so he's not going to pay that money to change it. Now, that brings me to the question, did Michael Jordan have to buy up jerseys and pay money when he went from number 45 to 23 mid-season? And did Kobe have to pay money to go from 8 to 24? Or did Ron Artest, a.k.a. Metta World Peace, have to pay money when he went from 15 to 23 to 91 to 93 to 96 to 37 because Thriller was number one for 37 weeks back to 15? Well, I guess the NBA has a different guideline when it comes to that. So with that, I'm finished, and I will throw a fundamental basic two-hand chest pass to PJ with the backspin.
I appreciate that pass, Kill. I ain't got my contacts in, so if you threw a fancy pass, it might have went off my head. But, yo, in regards to the Pro Bowl, man, they might as well play that in, like, obviously with no pads, you know what I mean, a flag football game, 7-on-7s. I think 7-on-7s are more aggressive than that, but that's neither here nor there. I want to talk about real quick, guys, a seven-year veteran in the NBA, 38th overall pick, Mr. Christopher Duhon. He's a bum, guys. He's been in the league for 7 years. Okay, this is a guy who's averaging 7 points, a career 7 points per game, shoots on career average under 39% from field goal percentage. 1 year in 2010, he played 50 some odd games and averaged 2.5 points per game. I just want to know, how's Chris Duhon in the league? I understand he's a good defensive player. Offensively, he stinks. Every time I see, yeah, man, he's still in the league getting a chake. How does this man get a chake from the association? Like my man Kill says, some people pattern their games after Jordan and Magic and those kinds of guys. And then some people pattern their games after John Bagley, Doug Overton, Rory Sparrow, Howard Eisley, Lee Mayberry, and Steve Blake, and those kinds of guys. And Chris Duhon, size of the ladder. All I wanted to say is, he stinks. And with that, I'm going to throw a behind-the-back pass with my good eye to my man Jimmy, cutting to the cup.
Yeah, man, I don't know how he's in the league. He's another one of these jokers that Dwight's being forced to play with, and why he's demanding to go everywhere across the world. My fault, y'all. I was slipping, jumping on real quick. I just heard that Pinky got that house in Virginia, and it kind of took me back real quick. Anyway, what's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint. And this week, I have a few words about the Orlando Magic. So the Orlando Magic want me to believe that all the Dwight Howard trade talks are not having an effect on their team. Now, if you believe that, you also believe that Vanessa Bryant didn't strategically wait for the 10-year mark to pass to get divorced. I watched the Magic play live last week, and the bottom line, the team is terrible. They have no chemistry, they shoot too many stupid shots, and outside of Dwight Howard, the rest of their team is softer than a Demita Joe album. Not to mention, their coach, Stan Van Gundy, a.k.a. the Master of Panic, at times, he looks like he'd rather be playing Words with Friends than coaching their current team. It seems like every week, Dwight is adding teams to the list that he wants to play for. You know, first it's he probably really wants to go to the Heat, but he doesn't say that. He says he wants to go to play for the Nets or the Knicks or the Lakers, the Clippers, the Mavericks, and now the Bulls. I mean, come on. After seeing the cast of characters on his team, I do see why he wants out. You know, PJ just talked about one of them. Many of the players on this team would be sandwich artists if not for the watered-down NBA having 50-11 teams. You know, a lot of those guys wouldn't even be in the league. But with that being said, as a team leader, should you openly discuss the fact that you want to be on another team? And if someone working for you is leaking this information, shouldn't you find out who and put it to an end? I heard from a reliable source. He's also known as the guy who was sitting next to me at the stands at the Wells Fargo Center, that Orlando wanted Dwight on their team for the All-Star game. And after that, that's when they're going to deal him. Now, I don't know if this is true or not, but if so, the fans of Orlando are in for some bad basketball. Then again, after he is traded, they still won't have bad basketball. Who knows where Dwight will end up? Come to Philly, fam. Anyway, regardless of where he goes, Orlando will become unwatchable. After watching him last week, it has become clear to me that even with him, the team still stinks and the team is still unwatchable. The Magic are so bad, I'd rather watch dogs mate while being kicked in the gonads with steel-toed boots than to ever watch them play again. I swear, half of the league stinks. Dev, do you still have the NBA ticket?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, that was my next question. Why? The NBA as an overall product is horrible. Now, I'm not going to lie. On a night-to-night basis, I do get excited to see certain games. But overall, the league is just down. Like, when you see the Nets versus the Bobcats, who in their right mind is watching that? With that being said, I'm going to conclude with this. Something has to be done about the league. Now, I'm not one of the guys that gets mad when players go and super team up, but if that's what's going to happen, you need to get rid of about a good 10 teams to make the league competitive. And I'm going to jump off my soapbox with that. I'm done. I'm nice, and you're welcome. Be awesome.
You.
Hey, you got any money, your brother?
Yo, kill the Pro Bowl. Just give out the award.
Exactly.
There you go.
Seriously. Go ahead and dunk that. Shoot the J. Do what you got to do. Fade it away.
Kendrick Perkins is under me.
Oh,
All right, let everybody know how y'all can get in touch with us, get in touch with the War Room. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, you can email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Apple or Android devices. Watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can always sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is just like raising your hand, so raise your hand, and guess what? We might call on ya.
Yeah.
Head out.
All right, so this first Super Bowl 46 segment is brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers hands-free, stress-free, while getting other stuff done at the very same time. Who wouldn't want to do that? So let's talk a little bit about some surrounding NFL stories for the Super Bowl. And let's talk about Peyton Manning for a minute, because like we said, the news just came down that the doctors have cleared him. He did an interview earlier this week where he basically commented for the first time on his health and a little bit about his future. And what he said was, I really feel good. I continue to make progress every day. Everything that the doctors have told me has been on point, which is encouraging to me. I just had a great day today with rehab. Just got back from the facility, and that's what we continue to do, just keep trying to get better. So far I have. That's the plan from here on out. So he addressed his health, and now we got news that the doctors have cleared him to go. So Akil just, you know, talked about it a little bit in his PTR, thinking that they probably still won't give him that $28 million roster bonus in March. Do you guys agree, or do you think the timing of the doctors clearing him may do something for him staying in Indy? Remember, they got that number one pick.
So, I think that it's a joke that he got medically cleared. It's all part of, as Ursay said, Peyton being a politician. If you read the actual report where they clear him, they said he's cleared to play football, but he can't throw the ball. What the hell does that mean? He's cleared to play football, but he can't throw. Yeah, he can run back. He can't throw. And it's like they don't release that part of it in the statement. They just release that he's cleared to play. I mean, he's cleared to get that check is what he's cleared to do. At the end of the day, though, it's like, yo, I hate the fact that Peyton's been hogging up a lot of his attention considering the Bulls this week. And we got, like, Brady, his nemesis, and his little brother playing. And, like, yo, dude is, you know, but he's Peyton Manning. He does what he does.
It's in his city.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's coming back, though. Like, I think, like, that little spat that he and Ursay had, not really a spat, but, you know, like the public disagreement and being, you know, when Ursay called him a politician and all that stuff. And, you know, I think Peyton's probably already looking for a place to land in, you know, essentially when he really is ready to play. And I think Ursay and those guys are looking at getting lucky in the draft. and take
hopefully
it there.
Hopefully he can find a nice home in King of Prussia.
Straight up, yeah, get him out on the main line. I would take him. Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Only thing that scares me about Peyton is, like, if he's even 75% of what he was, I would take him. But I don't know enough about that injury to say if I'd feel comfortable about him playing and being hit and having to, like, here's my thing. You know how they're talking about the nerve damage has to regenerate or whatever? Like, the nerves have to regenerate. Once they come back, is he? Right, but once they come back, like, is he back to normal? That's what I don't understand. Like, is that still a sensitive area for him? Or like, once it comes back, is he, like, back to 100%, back to what he was? You know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of,
once the nerve does regenerate, like, he's not in any danger of that being a problem again. Like, a hit, like, you wouldn't have to be afraid that a hit is going to do something to his neck. But the problem is, you know, just earlier in the week, they were saying that it hasn't fully regenerated yet, and they didn't know a timetable on when that's going to happen. So this does seem like something that they're rushing out there real quick, you know, probably to make the story more interesting, maybe so to make the decision a little more difficult for Ursay. It's crazy. I mean,
Hey Dev. My thing is, so basically what they're saying is, if he throws a football right now, this would have
my back.
Just like Ezell did. Oh, man. But, yeah. I mean, because they were saying, like, with the nerves and the tricep, and he doesn't have good feeling between, like, those nerves in his neck and his tricep to get, like, a good – to be able to throw the ball accurately and firmly. So, I guess it all comes down to how well he is. I don't know. It's a hell of a gamble, though.
That's crazy. I think
know, what do you mean he can play, but he can't, he has to regenerate in order to throw the ball. Like, I just don't get that part.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
This sounds like the doctors are on Peyton's side and they're trying to get him paid. Because not only does he have the $28 million roster bonus, he's on the hook for $18 million in base salary for the season. That's a lot of money, man. That's a lot of money.
How much is his base?
When you have the number one pick, man. I'm a Peyton Manning stan, but I don't know, man. I might.
How much is his base salary?
This year he's scheduled to make like $18 million.
Okay, what would y'all do? Hey, War Room Generals. If you were Ursay, what would you do? Would you let Peyton walk, or give him the $28 million and draft Luck, or would you keep Peyton and draft Luck? Like, what would y'all do? I let him go.
I would approach him and ask him to restructure the deal.
I think that 28 is a guarantee, though. Like, I don't know if they can.
I think it's kind of set in stone. They did say something like they could possibly make a deal to have it paid later. So maybe they can. But if I'm Peyton, I wouldn't do that, because if I make a deal with you to pay it to me a month or two later, and then I don't really pass the physical test that you put me through, you're going to cut me, and I'm not going to get it. So I'm like, look, you're either going to give it to me when that time comes, or let me go.
That's why he hired his doctor to get him a quick note. Like, yo, let me
And that's what I said.
Quick.
Yo, I'm going to take the doctor.
I'm going to cut you in on this deal. He cut a side deal with the doctor. Like, yo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get this nice check.
Yeah, so it just got a little more interesting, but I don't know how much more interesting it got if they're saying he still can't throw. Like, what's the point?
What are you
clearing him for? If you know, I don't really get it.
Where does it say that you can't approach a player about restructuring a guaranteed deal? I mean, I know that it's really on him. It's like, cut him, or if we don't cut him, he gets his money. But I could say, all right, I don't necessarily want to cut you. We respect what you've done. We respect the relationship. Let's rework the money out.
I'm with you. I don't know the rules like that, but it seems like something that's feasible. But at the same time, if you're Peyton Manning, why would you want to do that? Because if you restructure it where money is going to come to you later, they still can cut you before you get that money.
Mm-hmm.
So restructuring it probably wouldn't be the best thing for him to do.
Let me ask you this. On the off chance,
give me my 28, give us us free.
if he's going to continue if he's going to continue his career, what do you think the market is for Peyton Manning? Because we're talking about 28 plus 18, so ultimately we're talking about what, $46 million this year. Is does he stand to make that with anyone else?
No, because if they cut him, then he's going to have to make a whole new deal with somebody else.
Right.
And I'm pretty sure anybody else who picks him up, knowing his current, you know, his history with the neck, they're not going to sign him to that kind of deal where they're stuck on the hook for that much money up front. Now, it might be a pretty big deal because it's Peyton Manning, but you can't give him those kind of bonuses.
Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you got Washington, Cleveland, maybe San Francisco, maybe Arizona, teams like that who may be in the market for a quarterback. So there's going to be a market. I don't know what they're going to pay him, but it'll be kind of risky to try to pay him that much money up front if you don't really know, you know, if he's going to be Peyton Manning or not. But we shall see.
So you would say the Eagles aren't in the market?
If we were running a team, it'd be a done deal.
Yeah.
You know, they love they sell some Mike Vick up in Philly, the organization and the city. But a couple of you guys mentioned the Pro Bowl earlier. Oh, did anybody have anything else on Peyton before we move on?
Nah.
No, it's on the go away.
A couple of you guys mentioned the Pro Bowl, and Aaron Rodgers had some quotes after the Pro Bowl. He was talking about the NFC's effort. He said, "I'll be honest with you, I was a little bit disappointed. I felt like some of the guys on the NFC side embarrassed themselves. I was just surprised that some of the guys either didn't want to play or when they were in there didn't put any effort into it." When asked about avoiding injuries, you know, in a meaningless All-Star game, he said, "I've always found that when you're going that tempo, that's when injuries are going to happen, not if you're going full speed. You're more likely to get an injury standing around a pile or just going through it half-assed or half-speed." Do you guys agree with him, or is he Charlie Batching about nothing for a meaningless game?
I agree with him,
but I think that I also think that that was a direct shot at a certain person on the roster because both he and Breeze kind of ball out, but they did what they were supposed to do. And then the third quarterback that came in, he came in there with his shirt untucked, chewing gum, throwing the ball around, participating in rugby with beast mode and all types of. I think he was taking a shot at Cam.
I don't know if he was taking a shot. I mean, because from what I hear, because I didn't watch the Pro Bowl, and for any highlights that you saw, like, the quarterback would snap the ball, and then the offensive and defensive line just stand up and, like, play patty cake with each other.
Yeah,
so
they were.
If Cam was in his sights, he was talking about a whole lot more people than just one cat.
Just Cam, huh?
Yeah, I think a lot of them. I did watch it for like 15 minutes, and I'm still trying to figure out a way I can recruit those 15 minutes back into my life. But it was pretty awful. Like you said, that when they would snap the ball, yo, the offensive defensive line was just stand straight up and start talking about what they was doing. Yeah, they was talking. Like, they was standing. One joker had pockets in his football pants. I ain't never even seen pockets in football pants. He put his hands in his pockets and was standing it. So, yeah, it was crazy, man. But, yeah, I honestly agree with Aaron Rodgers. I'm like, seriously, if y'all going to play like that, y'all might as well be like, look, let me just get my chait and get back out on the banana boat in the water with my family. But, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully by – because it seems like a lot of people were upset about it or at least complaining about – I wouldn't say upset, but, like, complaining about the quality of play. So maybe that'll, you know, make the NFL think about doing something different going forward.
Hey, yo, I got something interesting. Like, this past year, Brandon Marshall caught six touchdowns. And in 2010, he caught three touchdowns. And he caught three touchdowns in that game. Like, come
in the
on,
game,
man.
Yeah, I knew that was you. Yeah. It's great. One of them, he kicked his foot and caught. Like, he caught off his toe after it hit, like, the defender's head. I saw that. I was like, yo.
Brandon Marshall going to audition. Every year.
Exactly. You don't want to take the game seriously.
The quarterback's probably running down the field with Brandon Marshall. Let me just throw it to him.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, like we said, the Pro Bowl's been stinking for a long time now. And I guess Aaron Rodgers would be right from a standpoint of, you know, if the league is trying to sell this thing, you know, we're not helping them out by playing the way we played. But on the other hand, I just think it's a done deal. I think, like Austin said, man, just name the Pro Bowlers these days. And because obviously they're doing it just for the trip to Hawaii because nobody really wants to play in the game. And though he's everybody's in here homie, how the hell Brian Dawkins make it to the Pro Bowl?
Yo, yo, listen, that's my man. If Ray's my uncle, that's my other uncle. But if you look at his statistics, they were huge. He had like 50 tackles, six passes defensed, one forced fumble, no interceptions, and only played in 11 games.
Yeah.
He was hurt. Yeah.
All right, so back to this Super Bowl media day, man. Do you guys think that media day at this point is a waste of time?
It is until War Room Sports is there.
Yeah, and where's the Super Bowl site next year? It's back in New Orleans? Because I plan on being at media day, but I don't plan on going there in like a pimp outfit with a feather off my cap asking questions about, you know, which hockey player you think would make the best NFL running back. Like, let me tell you guys some of the questions Tom Brady was asked yesterday because, you know, he was just holding court. Everybody was around Tom Brady. Somebody asked him if he could name the cast of Jersey Shore. What does that have to do with the Super Bowl? Somebody tell me that. What does that have to do with the Super Bowl? He didn't even know what Jersey Shore was, or at least he was faking for the cameras. He probably watched every week. This was another question, and the guy who asked this question had on tights and a cape. He asked Brady if his Super Bowl game face was different from his regular season game face. Like, for real, man? And the bad thing is, if you're an NFL player and you make the Super Bowl, you have to go to this. You got to go sit in here for 2 hours and actually listen to this. And like, if you don't, you're going to get in trouble. Another question. This guy asked him, how far back does his relationship with NHL star Sidney Crosby go, and how much conversation was there before you recommended Dr. Bray to him? Brady said, I've never met Sidney Crosby, and I have no idea who Dr. Bray is. Like, what are these people talking about? And the last question, this guy had on, he was wearing a silk robe and a fur hat. And this guy said, it's the year of the dragon, baby. Will you have the power of the divine beast, the dragon, on Sunday? Come on, man. We got to go next year and bring media day back, man. Because this is getting real stupid. Will you have the power of the divine beast on Sunday?
The power of the divine beast with a straight face.
Yo, I don't even know what to say to that, fam.
I see everybody's quiet like, what's going on here? Like,
yo,
I don't want to be the guy that says media day should be, you know, done away with, because you should probably have a big media accessibility like that. But I think they're starting to let anybody in here now.
This is just further confirmation that the world is on its way to its end. Yo, they just let anything go. I mean, you can basically go there. 73
days in February.
70-degree days, and you can go there with a stripper outfit on, and glasses, and a bozo nose, and just
allow you to ask a question on national television.
Yo, what is this about?
I don't know, but speaking of, you know, how you will get in trouble if you don't participate, OCU Manure was fined $20,000 for skipping the media availability at their hotel. I mean, he went to media day, but he was fined $20,000 for skipping the media availability at the Giants hotel. So it wasn't Coughlin. You know how Coughlin say if you're on time, you're 5 minutes late, or whatever he says. But he just skipped the joint in general. I wonder what OC was doing. And do you guys think $20,000 is excessive?
He probably met a tender hawk at the original media day and had go back to the Yameen.
What are their Super Bowl cuts anyway? What do they get for playing in the game?
Like $100 for the winner, $50 for the loser, something like that.
Okay, so
that's the case. I forgot what the cut is, but I think it's a little bit more.
It might be more than that.
So if that's the case, then OC just has to give up a little bit of his Super Bowl cut. for missing this media availability.
Yeah, but I mean, overall, Media Day has jumped the shark. The questions are, it's not even, like, funny anymore. It used to be funny. I mean, Media Day was funny back when Shannon Sharp was talking about Ray Buchanan. You know, you get some good quotes out of it. But now everybody watches everything they say anyway. No one's really honest anyway.
And you know who's always funny at Media Day because he's there as media? Ocho. But now that he's on the Patriots, you couldn't get anything out of him.
Yeah.
Yo, Belichick really has cats. Like, like, when you play for the Patriots, you're just afraid to say anything that might embarrass the organization.
Belichick took his whole spirit to the point where he can't even play football no more.
Yeah, you're right, Jimmy. The bonus for the winners is last season was $83,000. The bonus for the loser was
$82,000.
Okay,
83 and 42. Okay, mm-hmm. So it probably inflated a little bit this year, but so OC, I don't know. I mean, he got to give a nice little cut up, especially if they lose the game and he's only getting 40. You got to give half his money.
It'll be 88 for the winner this year.
Oh, that's this year's numbers.
This year it will be 88. Last year it was 83.
83. Okay, I see what you're saying. All right, well, about the Patriots, a couple of questions to you guys about the Patriots. If they win, this will be their fourth Super Bowl win in an 11-year span. So if they win, where do you guys think they will rank amongst, like, the all-time NFL dynasties? You know, you got your 49ers, you got your Dallas Cowboys, you got your Pittsburgh Steelers. I mean, Pittsburgh, they won four, and how long of a span was that? I think this would be the smallest span that anybody would win four Super Bowls in if they do win.
Pittsburgh won four in the 70s, right? So that's four within a decade. This is 11 years, so it's a little bit longer. But
okay. So, yeah, Pittsburgh was all in the 70s.
Yes, but the thing is, this is a little bit different because of free agency.
Right.
And I think it's only Belichick and Brady that have been a part of all of them, correct?
Right, because the last one, well, no. Well, Deion Branch wasn't there for like the first one. So, yeah, you're right.
That's what I'm saying. They have all three. It's just them.
Right. So it is difficult to call something a dynasty if the roster has turned over so many times. You know,
but I think this is what dynasty will look like from this point moving forward. This is like the new dynasty.
This is a free agency dynasty.
Yeah, this is a new dynasty. So in part, that's kind of more impressive when you think about it, considering if Pittsburgh played in the 70s, they didn't have to. Once they got a team together, they were together. So
they had chemistry.
Have to worry about free agency,
you know,
and all those kinds
chemistry
of things.
Was already there all the time.
But the thing about it is, when you look at the Super Bowl winning teams they have, none of them were really dominant. Like, you know, you look at some of those Cowboys teams that won a bowl or the Niners teams where they were dominant. I mean, they dominated
they
the bowl, they dominated
teams,
the playoffs. The Patriots championships be like, they win by 2 and 3 points on long field goals and little crazy plays like the
Can you really?
But I think that's why Belichick gets so much props, though. Because, you know, how they always say, you know, close games and coaching.
Or coaching. It's coaching. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But
I'm just saying, when you
also
is
a lot of video
some of the great teams, like some of them teams were just so good that, you know, they just smacked everybody.
Do you knock them down?
Don't you know, Austin? But they, you know, if they lose again, then they're still going to be winless ever since they put the video cameras away. Ever since the spy game went down, you know.
So you think the cheating tarnishes?
So it might not be cheating. I mean, not coaching. It might be cheating.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
We gotta get that LaDainian soundbite.
LT said it.
That's real talk.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
That's real talk.
So, I mean, speaking of coaching, then where would it put Belichick? If he wins his fourth Super Bowl, would you say that he's the greatest head coach, NFL head coach of all time?
Top five that are alive, though.
But I think the fact that they have so many moving parts and it's not the same team is a tribute to his coaching ability, though.
And his system is immaculate. He wins with it's dominant defense. But if you look at the individual parts of that defense, other than their D-line, those dudes aren't good.
And you have to realize, and look at, like, how when anybody leaves the Patriot, they become a Patriot stan for life.
Right.
Even Randy Moss in the PTR that PJ did last year. Randy Moss was up there trying to advocate to get back in New England. Like,
exactly.
Color checking those guys. Like, he does something out of
guys, man.
I want to go back there with those guys up there in New England.
Yo, did you ever notice that him and Chris Carter sound the same? Are they from the same area? Because they both have that, like, goofy draw to their, like, speech. Like, Chris Carter and Randy Moss sound exactly the same when they pronounce words. Like, you know, like, I mean, Chris Carter might clean his up a little bit more because he is on TV talking. But they both got that doofy draw. But all right, I digress.
The thing is, though, when you look at compared in the dynasty, so going back to the original question, when you compare them to dynasties, there's so many that, like, you know, you look at the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Niners. It's tough to see where they rank. I mean, they have to be up there, but at the same time, like, you know, would you if you were a coach and you had to take a team, would you take them over any of those dominant teams?
No, but you know what? That's a great point, and that kind of plays into what I just said, Jimmy. Belichick goes out there and wins with trash.
That's what I'm saying. He wins with trash,
no,
and it's different
Teddy
trash.
Bruschi,
I'm not
taking Teddy Bruschi on any team ever, no matter what, other than the Patriots. He's so overrated.
Yeah, he's Mike Mahula. He's Mike Mahula.
There are people that talk like, Teddy Bruschi, I don't understand why he's not in the Hall of Fame. And when that comes out of their mouth, I'm like, well, let me explain.
Let's flip the question, Austin. Let's flip the question in terms of the Dev asked about the dynasties. But, you know, if they win this, where does Belichick rank in terms of coaches?
Yeah.
I did ask that.
I'm talking about
do you have him as being the greatest ever?
No, he said top five dead or alive.
I said top five dead or alive.
But he's probably already there. Does this game not move him up the ladder anymore?
Yeah,
or are you saying it just moves him around in the top five?
I
don't
want to
give him props on that just because of the whole cheating thing. But, you know, I do acknowledge how great of a coach Bill Belichick is. It gets tiring at times to hear, you know, the genius word thrown around and how much he does get praised. Because it kind of seems like with him and anything Patriots, like the negative parts just get swept under the rug and they just try to make you forget about that stuff.
Hey, man, that's like, Bob Kraft, man. That's what he does, man.
Yeah, but, you know, if it was somebody else, you know, not held
you can't
in
mention,
high regard as
you can't
the Patriots
mention
or Belichick.
You can't mention the bad stuff. Martha wouldn't like it.
Let Herm Edwards cheat. Let Herm Edwards cheat. They're going to try to take every win off of his record. But this
would they? He's
like
coaching the Frankfurt Chargers. He'd be coaching
the Phantoms. He'd be coaching the Logan Cowboys.
We played. He said top five, can't move him up. If you had to compare Bill Belichick to one of your favorite MCs, who would you compare him to? We always talk about your
coach.
Mel.
Mel?
Jason coaching?
No.
So he's the camel of coaching?
he's not.
What you're saying is you want to put Jason in
the best fighting
thief. But you can't. You can't move him up, though, right?
All right, who you got above him? Like Vince? Vince Money? The trophy?
Vince?
You got
Vince,
the trophy.
Above him? Call him the trophy.
I mean, what about Cass?
With
like,
him,
it's
even a step higher than Belichick with him. If you say something negative about Lombardi, you might get
whacked. The mailman might bring your mail the next day and just whack you. The mailman will mob
Lombardi
style. So nobody knows what happened to you.
Austin Lombardi is like Rakim, man.
Yeah.
But who else you got there? I mean, who are you just naming Lombardi? I mean, you got Big Tuna?
No, I said Walsh.
I got Bill Walsh. And who was the coach of the Steelers in the 70s with Bradshaw?
Chuck Noll.
See, Noll won four. He won
where
four.
Where y'all
I mean,
put Tom? Where
Walsh
y'all put Tom
what?
With the little hat? Tom Landry.
Landry, yeah.
Yo, where y'all putting Ray Rose at?
I don't know. We
got Rich Kotite. I know this is a whole
Rose
other.
Child rape your women and children, man.
All right, but look, if anybody,
Mike Singletary,
if you guys want to get in touch with us, you can check out our website at warroomsports.com. And if you want to call in and speak to us about any Super Bowl topics tonight, you can dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1, and we'll try to get to you. So, yeah, let's move on from that. It's kind of hard to see. I guess we have to see, you know, if the game is won, how the game is won, you know, how it plays out, and then maybe we can revisit this next week and see where we think they rank.
What if they win, but Brady stinks it up, and they win because, like, Edelman kick return or something crazy like that?
Yeah, or if they win.
Where do y'all put Don Shula in that?
I don't know, man. We're going to have to do it. Maybe we can have a show like we used to do quarterback shows. We can just do greatest coaches of all time.
I know, that's
come in prepared.
Because there's so many variables that go into play with that in terms of the time they coached, the rules of the game. I mean, there's so many different variables that go with that. So that's a tough one.
The father figureness.
The father figureness, man. You got to bring up my man Vermeulen, man.
The cryingness with Ben. You cry every game.
Vermeulen to me didn't win enough chips.
He didn't win enough chips. I mean, you know, it is what it is. Anyway,
he won the father figureness award, though.
He won the Pappy Award.
The Pappy Mason Award goes to my man Dick Vermeulen. Anyway, man.
He must have been moving
guys,
that yay,
you
too.
You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. But then again, if you have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, you have other issues in your life. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website, which is warroomsports.com, and listen, or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Now, let's talk some pigskin, gentlemen.
Yes, sir.
First thing I want to bring up is this. Your man Gronk and his ankle injury. How serious do you think it is? Do you think that the Pats can win without him or without him being at full strength?
This is the ankle injury heard around the world. This is reminiscent of the whole T.O. situation back in the Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl. I don't know. I pretty much know 100% that he's going to play, even though they're not announcing that. So I would have to slice the question down to how would they fare with a less than 100% Gronkowski. And, you know, even though I just trashed Belichick a little bit, I do think he's the best adjustment coach in the league. And, you know, if he has an injury on the team or if he has to adjust from quarter to quarter or from game to game, I think he's the best at doing that. So I think their game plan will put Gronkowski in a position to help the team, you know, whether he's in his usual capacity or not. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal because Brady has a lot of other targets that he can go to, you know, if need be during the game.
I think that, and you heard it here first, I think that Chad Johnson, not Chad Ochocinco, but Chad Johnson is going to play a factor in this game, because if Gronk isn't up to full speed, they basically run two sets. Their main set is double tight end, or they run three wide. So I think they're going to run more three wide, and you're going to see Chad and Edelman in the slot getting that work on.
But Brad, Chad might be out there running wrong routes. He might supposed to run a skinny post, then run a button hook, and then when you get back to the sideline, Brady going to smack the black off.
The living life, the tar off that baby. I shouldn't have said that.
You know how demonstrative Brady gets. You know what I mean?
But
that's the only thing I was thinking about Chad, Brad, because I thought about that, not to cut you off. But I'm like, yo, do you think my man has enough grasp? Does he have a grasp of the entire offense? So say they were in a hurry-up where they're not running personnel in and off. do you think he'd be able to stay on the field throughout an entire drive, assuming that they're driving down the field and know where to be and know what route to run or, you know what I'm saying? They might not even give him that opportunity.
Might have to dumb it down for him, put him on the outside, and let him run the flanker and give him just three or four routes based on what look the coverage gives him, as opposed to even putting him in the slot.
Yeah, too many decisions to make in the slot.
Yeah, in today's NFL, the slot receiver is probably next to the quarterback in the center, got to be your third smartest guy on the field to be able to have the options and decisions to make against the coverage face.
Is that why most slot receivers are – never mind.
Don't do that.
Most slot receivers are heady players.
NAACP gonna call in. Marching in front of the studio. But you're right. They do have to be knowledgeable. So, I mean, according to what's coming out of that camp, he's not the most knowledgeable receiver out there.
He's going to surprise everybody and come out and win the MVP.
I think he's definitely capable from a skill set standpoint and a talent standpoint.
Deion Branch won one. Why can't he?
Yeah, that's true.
I'm still embarrassed to be an Eagles fan, and we let Deion Branch win the Super Bowl MVP. I mean, okay, have somebody else win the MVP. Tom Brady, Corey Dillon.
He got a nice caddy out of that deal. I remember that.
He got a
nice contract out of that.
Yeah, where Belichick ranks all time as a coach, and Patrick says somewhere behind Joe Gibbs. Patrick is a homer. Yo. I give him credit for one thing, man. The ball reps DC, yo, strong, yo.
Yo, the other question is, if the Patriots win on Sunday, where would they rank amongst NFL all-time dynasties? He says somewhere behind the Redskins.
That's what I'm saying, man. He don't play no games. He goes hard when it comes to his DC teams. It's funny, I was getting ready to ask you guys about Chad Ocho, but Austin already brought him up. So let me ask you another question. When it comes to the coaches, we already talked about how great Belichick is in terms of all time, but it seems as though people are – that's all they're talking about. They're not giving anybody else any credit if the Giants didn't get here when their coach is threatened to be fired, like, every 2 weeks. In terms of the coaching matchup, what do you think about the coaching matchup in this game?
My man is
Tom
underrated.
Coughlin never gets any props. Not
My
even
man
in
is
New
underrated.
York. Like you said, he's always supposedly on the hot seat, and then, you know, when the seat gets really hot, all he does is make the Super Bowl. And, you know, after Sunday, we could be saying all he does is make and win the Super Bowl. So I think he's a very, very good coach. I don't know where the Giants and their regular season struggles come from, because they do struggle a lot every year. But I don't know. It always seems like during these type of years, down the stretch, they just turn into a different team. And once they get into the playoffs, they really turn into a different monster, because they usually go on the road.
Yeah, it's too much ill nana in New York. You got to get away from home.
You know what it is, and I've been thinking about this, and this is just my opinion. His style of coaching, and Belichick's to a level, but his style of coaching is really, really, really old school. Like, he's really 1960s, 1970s type coach, and it doesn't fit in with the culture that a lot of these players in today's NFL come from. And with the influences of New York and the high turnover and free agency, it's a different type of organization, and he doesn't have as much control over the organization as Belichick does. So Belichick essentially is end-all, be-all up in New England. So he gets to do whatever he wants, so he sets the tone for the culture. Tom has somebody to answer to, or somebody's, so how he really wants to run the show a lot of times doesn't show up. And these guys come in here with a little bit different. That's why him and Plaxico got into it. Him and Brenda Jacobs get into it. Him and, you know, the safety. He has to get them functioning all on the same page. It's a lot harder job.
Him and Brenda Jacobs went through it a lot because he was trying to force Brenda to pull her skirt down, but he wouldn't
and
do
be
it.
A man.
To keep his, yeah,
be
yeah,
a
he
man.
Would, he wanted
yeah.
to keep his skirt on.
You can't
but,
force,
yeah, that's
you can't
thing,
force
too,
a woman. You can't force a woman to do a man's job, no matter how big she is.
Pull your skirt down, B.
Straight up. But the thing about it is like with the Giants, is like they do it ugly. Like think about it, if they win, they'll be a 9-7 team that won the Super Bowl. I mean,
I can't, like
Thad was saying, even though they go through what they go through, there's something about the coach in that locker room that keeps it together and can still like you know have tunnel vision and keep their eye on the prize. To use a corny little you know little saying, but like they go on the road and they win big games and they keep it together when the times get rough. Where a lot of teams may the bottom would have fallen out of those teams.
Uh-huh.
So that's something to be said because that usually comes down from your coach, that type of mentality on a team. So even though he makes the most whiniest faces with the reddish cheeks that you'll ever see on the sideline, it don't mean that he doesn't know what he you know. I mean, it doesn't mean that's that means he can't coach or doesn't have the ability to keep his team together because, hey, it's working.
So who has the edge in terms of coaching? Like, with all that being said, going into for the one game, who would you take as your coach? Would it be Coughlin or would it be Belichick?
Belichick.
I would say Belichick in terms of in game. Like, once you get in the game, I would say Belichick. I'm not saying by a large margin, but I would say Belichick.
Think about this, right? Now, let's just say the Giants do win this game. That means that he has two, Belichick has three, and he beat Belichick twice in the bowl. That's if it happens. I'm just saying.
That'd
be a very good point. Like, would he have to be over him by default?
That's a great point, but does head-to-head, pause, make you a better coach?
I mean, probably not, because if somebody makes that argument, then they're just going to go back to the records in the last decade and the Patriots records are going to be way better than the New York Giants records. The Patriots have won that division 9 out of 11 times while Belichick has been the coach. So,
right.
You know, his resume is just going to be that much more impressive.
I mean, that's
so true,
but it's like the Giants playing a tough division. I mean,
yeah.
Because the Dolphins and the Bills have stunk for years. So it's pretty much been like who? It's been the Patriots and who else won the division? Is it the Dolphins?
The Patriots and the
Jets.
I mean, it's usually the Patriots and the Jets in that division.
Yeah,
I mean, the Dolphins.
One of them
Bills,
was the
Patriots,
Dolphins,
Jets.
Though, I think. When they went 11-5 and didn't make it, I think that was the Dolphins.
The Dolphins won,
yeah.
But even before Rex, the Jets were stinking too. So it's like, you know, the NFC East, even when the teams are bad, is a tough division.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
the division's been between, for the past decade or so, it's been between New York and Philly, with Dallas taking, you know, one or two in that mix. But
yeah. I mean, the Redskins.
It is, but, you know,
either
way you slice it, Belichick is going to have the better resume, so nobody's ever going to put Coughlin on top of him, no matter what happens.
If we're boxers, right, and you know, I lose a couple here and there, but every time I fight you, I knock you out. Am I a better boxer than you? You may have a better record, but every time I fight you, I knock you out.
No, styles make fights. Styles make football games. Talent, you know.
So basically,
matchups.
You're
matchups.
Asking us if Vernon Forrest was better than Shane Mosley.
Shane Mosley.
Because he muffed Shane up every time they rumble, but he couldn't beat anybody else.
You guys realize that the Patriots haven't lost in like 2 months, right? And do you know who they lost their last game to?
The New York Football Giants.
The Giants. When they played him, he got his number.
Yeah. You know what, though? That's why, you know, when we start to analyze the game a little bit, and I did say that I think Bill Belichick is probably the best adjustment coach in the league, probably the best that we've seen in a long time. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, it's going to be very, very difficult for the Giants to pull it off again, because Brady and Belichick are some vengeful dudes. So you know that week 9 game is in the back of their mind, you know, and they've probably been itching at another chance at the Giants, and they got their wish. So do you think the great Belichick will blow another opportunity?
You know, here's another thing about this. And this is just my personal observation from, like, watching some of the media things, some of the interviews. It looks like the Giants are a cocky team. You would think they were the 13-3 team. Like, they're talking trash. And it's sort of like reverse of what it was last time. The last time the Patriots were cocky, and they were undefeated. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what that was. They were undefeated.
Yeah, that's funny,
so
because
they would be.
Mm-hmm. The Giants, and so I was listening to an interview. Somebody down at the Super Bowl today was saying that, like, who was it? It was somebody. Oh, it was DeMarcus Ware from the Giants. I'm sorry, DeMarcus Ware from the Cowboys. He was saying that, just to your point, Jim, about how cocky the Giants seem, he was like, yo, that's just that team. Like, that team is a very talkative team, because he was like, you know, after playing both teams, they were just asking him to compare, asking DeMarcus to compare. He was like, yo, the most talkative, cocky team is the Giants. He's like, they're always out there talking throughout the whole game, no matter what's going on in the game. So, they, like you said, they just kept it up through this. The Super Bowl does not make them change face at all. They're just, that's them.
And again, that goes back to that culture thing. Belichick isn't going to allow so much of that, and he has the ability to control it. I don't think that Tom Coughlin necessarily likes it or allows it, but he doesn't have as much control in New York as Belichick has
but
in
also,
New England.
If you look at the last time they played in the bowl, this is how the Patriots were. Patriots are walking around cocky, acting the same way, and it kind of came back to bite them in the face.
I don't remember who was on that squad. But no one talks as much and delivers as little as Brenda Jacobs. So having him, you know, he's a rapper. He's going to talk. And Antrell Roll, he's a rapper. He's going to talk. So some of those personalities are a little – they're just apt to talk. I don't know what the Patriots, all I remember was my man Randy Moss from the mountains of West Virginia. And, you know, he got to say what he got to say.
Yo, their whole team, like the last time, I mean, this looks like a 360, because the Giants last time seemed like they were very humble, and they were like happy to be there. Like, they were playing with house money. Now they're acting like, you know, they act like they won a bowl last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens when you go back and – I guess in this short of a period, you know, that 4 years, 4 or 5 years turns into like 4 or 5 months.
I mean, they start talking greasy about Brady, talking about how when they played him 2 months ago, he was like seeing ghosts. They weren't even getting near him, and he was getting ready to rock because he was scared.
they were saying that?
You know what? All of this he's telling us right now might start to weigh into my prediction later on in the show.
What they said was he started feeling pressure that really wasn't there, and he got rid of the ball fast. They said, we didn't even get to him where he wanted to, but he was so scared. You know, they basically said he was scared of their pass rush.
And they do have a solid pass rush. I would even go beyond that and say it's not solid. It's good. They have a good front four. They got a good pass rush, but they don't have enough behind that for them to talk the way they're talking, because if that pass rush doesn't show up, their linebackers are bad and their secondary is worse. So,
You don't like Deion Grant?
Deion Grant don't like Deion Grant.
He's a journeyman. He's a journeyman safety.
I guess the only good thing about that is the Patriots' secondary is worse.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a lot to look at when you break down the game, because I went back and
one of the points that Dev brought up is about in-game adjustments. And I think that a lot of teams and a lot of coaches, there's several things that have to happen for you to be able to make those adjustments. You have to see it on the field and be able to articulate it to your players. Then you have to have players that are smart enough to execute. But then you also have to have the personnel that when you do execute, they can come through. And the way the Patriots are structured, they can do anything you want or need them to do. And it's not nothing great, but just enough. I think it's going to be real interesting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot of things to look at when breaking down a game. Let me ask you guys this question, moving on to another topic. When it comes to the quarterback matchup, we all know how great Brady is. Eli's coming into his own. What do you think about this game in terms of the quarterback matchup? Who would you rather have going into this? I know you all going to say Brady, but does Eli have a chance to be at least as good as Brady this game?
I don't even know if you say that. I mean, because I'm basing my answer on the matchups, and Eli against the New England defense might be a better matchup for me than Tom Brady against the Giants defense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in this situation, you know, I might rather go into battle with Eli. But, you know, of course, if we're just talking about straight up quarterbacks, matchup aside, you know, Brady has the experience. Brady has done it more. They both have the experience. But in this particular matchup, I might want to take Eli against that Patriots defense.
But yeah, Brady on
Patriots,
are we considering Eli in the are we considering the weapons with the quarterbacks too? Because I mean,
yeah,
if you're considering like say Eli,
matchups, weapons,
Spanish kid. Yeah, Eli with the Spanish kid, and you know Hakeem Nicks and Manning Tram or whatever his name is. Like no, Manningham. No, honestly,
are they better? Whose core is better?
See, if you're talking, if the Gronk is like say 50% of Gronk, I'm gonna go with matchup. Because I mean, Ballard ain't bad. Ballard at tight end for the Giants is not bad, and I think Eli, you know, puts the ball in the places where he needs it, and he's effective. But
what about Julian Edelman? Where does Julian Edelman fit into this?
Julian Edelman is
on the defensive side of
Troy
the ball.
Brown. is this year's
Troy
Brown.
I would say the Giants' weapons, though. If I'm Tom Coughlin,
if I'm Eli Manning, whenever I see Edelman on somebody, too, and if he manning up on somebody, we going that way. I don't care how well he's played.
Yep.
The other thing that's getting lost in this is the other tight end. Yo, Hernandez is nice.
Might have him in the backfield. They might have him everywhere.
Yeah,
Hernandez is nice.
Yeah, Hernandez gets his pop one on too. He definitely gets his pop one on.
If you get him one on one in space with a linebacker, he might give that linebacker the shimmy shimmy y'all shimmy yay shimmy yup.
I'm with PJ, though. I think the Giants have the better overall core if they don't, you know, because sometimes they do tend to have the dropsies. But I just think the Patriots core is more decorated because, you know, if you go into Chad Ochocinco's history in the league, you know, he was once an elite receiver. Welker, he catches 100 passes every year.
We
don't know that he's going to be 100%. And then you got Hernandez and cats like that. But as a receiving core, I don't know. I think the Giants' receiving core is a little underrated at times.
Yeah, I mean,
I would
rather have them at this point in their career. I would rather have, like, you know, Nick's Manningham and the Puerto Rican Jerry Rice. I'd rather have them.
But the funny thing is, his Cruz is getting doubles a lot. Like, a lot of teams are saying that they're not going to let Cruz beat him. And they're leaving Hakeem Nicks and Manningham on singled up. And the way Eli can get the ball to an average receiver who's manned up. Like, you don't have to be Jerry Rice. You don't have to be the Spanish Jerry Rice to win with Eli throwing you the rock if somebody's manning up on you. So I like that. I like their
immigrant Rice.
The immigrant.
but like Joe said, you have to look at who they're going against. Because that Patriots secondary is doo-doo. Because the thing about it is, when you look at the Patriots, during the course of the season, they beat up on the bad team, and against the good teams, they struggle. And they got a lucky matchup in the first round their first game against the Broncos, who beat the Steelers. Because truth be told, if the Steelers would have beat the Broncos, I don't even think the Patriots would be playing right now. That's just my personal opinion.
So the Steelers would have ended up beating.
I think the Steelers may have hammered time the Patriots. It's all about matchups. And if you look at their entire season, they pretty much just beat up on the bad teams. They beat up on their division. you know, they played the AFC West, which had the division winner was 8-8. So you figure the rest of the team stunk. They played that division in the AFC. So the teams they played, which were tough, was like the Giants, and they lost that game. I'm not sure not whether they lost to Dallas, but I know that was a close game. I don't know if Dallas won or lost, but who were their
three losses?
They had three losses. One to the Giants.
Didn't they lose to Pittsburgh?
They lost to
Pittsburgh. Didn't they play
Pittsburgh
early?
Yeah.
Yeah. Giants, Pittsburgh,
team.
And
that's what I'm saying.
When
they played the winning teams, they struggled.
Yeah. I mean, even in the playoffs, you know, they got a break with the Broncos matchup, like you said, and then when they went into Baltimore, I mean, give them their credit for winning the game, but I mean,
Baltimore,
really, we all know Baltimore had opportunities at the end of that game to win. So, yeah. So I mean, they're going to play a team this week that's you know, record-wise, you won't think the Giants are that good, but you know, their game, they beat them. And we're going to see if Belichick can adjust and get
that win
back.
Here's the thing, though, Dev. Truth be told, if you look at that game, Baltimore outplayed them, but that's why you play the games. And that's the great thing about the playoffs. It just proves that once you get into the tournament, anything can happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, and that's the thing about it is they may win this entire championship.
Unless you're from Philly.
they may win the championship and still have struggled against good teams all season. It's just a situation where, you know, it's one game for everything. And if you have one game for everything, you would want that quarterback and you would want that coach, regardless of how the season went. So it's a toss-up.
Toss it up.
Yeah, it is. It's about matchups. I think this is probably the least talented Patriots team that I've seen, with the exception – the offense isn't, but that defense is putrid.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary.
I mean, the Patriots and that coaching staff, once again, they seem to get these boys to play when it's time to play. Because actually the defense hasn't been as bad in the playoffs as they showed in the regular season.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying.
With all the marbles on the line this week, you can't really expect them to come out and be terrible. So it should be a great work.
Once you get in that tournament, man, everything else goes out the window, and that's the thing about it.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that with Indy a few years back. Their defense stunk all year. But when they got in the playoffs, you know, they definitely played their part. They was more responsible for winning a couple of those games than the offense was. So you never know.
Yeah.
You know, once you get this far, pride does have to kick in. Like, yo, we can't be the reason we lose this game, so let's ball.
Yeah, no doubt. Now, let me ask you guys another question. What if you look at the and look at everything, coaching, quarterback, defense, offense, special teams, what are the keys for each team? I'm just going to leave it out there for everybody to answer. What are the keys for each team in terms of winning this game?
Well, the first defensive key for both teams, and it's so cliche because when is this not a key? Especially when you have a nice passer on the other side, but you got to get pressure on the quarterback. You know, you got to get Eli throwing some of them turnaround passes, even though, like we said last week, he liked to complete them joints, but you got to get him no-looking. You know, you got to get up in Tom Brady's face. You got to hit him because he is the great Tom Brady, but, you know.
Anybody. You hit anybody.
265-pound dudes hit people, yeah. It don't matter who you are. You know, that hurts. So it'll get into your head a little bit. It'll get into your game. So, you know, that's the first key defensively, of course, to get pressure on the quarterback. To me, I don't know, the Giants, what can you do? But you got to do something to try to slow down that little middle-of-the-field attack that the Patriots do, because they don't go to the outside too much. You got Welker running around. You got the two tight ends running around the middle of the field. Even when they go deep, they go deep down the seams instead of deep on the edges. So, Austin, you probably can speak more to what defensive strategy you can use to try to combat that, but it doesn't seem like too many teams have been successful in that.
That's why Gronk is such a monster, because it's kind of like it with his skill set, there are very few linebackers that match up, and certainly the Giants don't have those men on their roster. So it's kind of like, do you run with an extra defensive back and assign him to one, if not two, of those tight ends? See, and that's the other thing. When they go double tight end, which is their main set, they've got two guys that can run and catch like receivers. So you normally would say, all right, well, we bring in an extra DB and we give one linebacker the responsibility of the other tight end. But after you take Gronkowski out of it, what linebacker can run with Hernandez? So you're really at a disadvantage, because if you go dime, what I think the Patriots will do is go dime or see dime or nickel and then run the ball. So I'm going to say to the Giants, really, your keys are going to be stopping the run, because I think they're going to spread out and use Ben Jarvis Green Ellis Esquire LLP.
You think they're going to run more than people expect them to?
I think they're going to run more than people expect because of Gronk's
slow down
injury.
Slow the pass rush a little bit?
Yeah, slow the pass rush down, but also Gronk is going to be a decoy. You can send him out in patterns, run off those extra men, and then run the ball. So that's what I'm looking
at.
That
about T.O., and he had like 9 catches for like a buck 26.
Gronk ain't T.O. in his prime. For the Giants, they got to get some production out of Bradshaw, running that rock.
What about Brandy
Jacobs?
I don't talk about females in football unless it's the lingerie league. They got to get some production in their running game and get ways to free up their receivers. Use Ballard in the middle of the field. Use Victor in the middle of the field, and then take their shots.
You know what, though? Just like, you know, we have a little feeling that Chad might end up, you know, having a nice little role in this game. I can see the same thing happening with Jacobs, though. You know, the people that you don't expect to add much to the game might end up being the stars of the game.
The funny thing is, The funny thing is, with that, as much as we poop on dude because of his character and his lack of heart, I actually think Jacobs is very talented. I think he's very talented.
He's like 280,000 pounds and he runs fast.
Yeah.
That's talent.
Mm-hmm. Nah, Ron Dane wasn't talented.
He just don't run in the right direction. He runs from
some big untalented dudes. There's been some big untalented.
Ron Dane was talented. He just wasn't. He just didn't have heart. Just they had the same problem. I mean, you see
big,
Ron Dane.
It's crazy. The big dudes beat the goats.
Ron Dane shit people like he was Warwick Dunn. But then he came to the league and realized, you know, that's not really going to work.
Yo, before we run out of town, let me ask you guys this though. Bottom line predictions. Like we gave the, you know, you guys say what the, you know, the keys are. Bottom line predictions.
This is difficult, and we do have another show on Sunday, so if we want to change our mind, we have the right to do so. But like I was saying to you fellas earlier, Belichick, as far as adjustments go, I think his game plan is going to be rock solid, and I think week 9 is going to have a lot to do with the game plan. I'm pretty sure he studied that film more than you expect a human being to be sitting in front of a TV screen studying film. But I just think they're going to make the right adjustments. They may do what Austin said and run the ball more than anybody expects, just to slow down that Giants pass rush. And then the talents of one Tom Brady are probably just going to put them over the top. So I say the Patriots right now on Thursday will win. And I say the final score will be 27-21. It's going to be the first Super Bowl that they win by more than 3 points. 27-21.
Wait,
for the record,
who'd you pick there?
And I would like to see Eli Manning win. Of course, being a Philly fan, I'm not going to be mad if the Giants lose. Plus, a lot of Giants fans have been acting really obnoxious lately, so they might have to get their medicine. But I would like to see Eli Manning win.
Man,
but
I think you should win because of how bad the Knicks are. I'm sorry. Go ahead, PJ. What you say?
No, I was going to say, I think that the way Eli is playing, the way that offense is playing for the Giants, I don't think that the Patriots are going to have enough. I just don't like them defensively. I take the Giants defensively. Again, I take the Giants defensively in their matchup over the Patriots defensively in their matchup. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair, but I'm going to take the Giants to win 38-27.
Defenses ain't showing up. That'll be fun to watch.
It will be fun, like Brady and Manning getting it going, you know, getting it on, going back and forth down the field. Not crazy down the field, but, you know, having to come up. Yeah, I don't know. I hope it's a battle like that.
Yeah, especially when, you know, when you don't have a rooting interest, you just want to see a
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Be awesome.
I got Tom Terrific and the boys 31-24. Yeah, that's what I see.
I think they got revenge on their menu.
Yeah, they got revenge on their menu. Yo, but I personally, I'm not going to front, y'all. I've been going back and forth all week.
Me too.
Like, let me see. I'm going to probably switch my prediction by Sunday. But as of right now, after watching the Giants today and their cockiness.
Niggas going to bite them.
You think Tom going to get them? Going to get you. Mama going to get you.
It's hard to root against the Eli face, man. Eli, that dumb face comes through in the clutch.
You know the face Brad called it last week. Nah, Brad described it last week.
Yeah, I know.
Tism.
Eli.
You got the tism.
Prediction. Yes, prediction.
Yeah. All right, my bad. All right. Let's 34-27. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
For now, maybe.
For now.
No, I'm like, yeah, I've been rushing
back
and forth.
I might go with Rain Man face by Sunday.
That's why I threw the disclaimer out there, Jim. That's why I prefaced it by saying we reserve the right to change because we got another show.
My man Eli be making that Charlie Babbitt face.
Yo, he got to go to Kmart, Cincinnati.
Got to go to Kmart. Got to go see Wild. I mean, got to go see Wild.
I need some boxer shorts.
How you retarded and want to watch Judge Wapner? Like, you make out what they talk about in the court case. Go ahead, man. Like,
yeah, man, real quick. I'm going to go around the table real quick. MVP. You going to go with the quarterback, of course, or are you going to give me an obscure MVP?
Yeah. Ocho Cinco. I'm dead serious.
Okay, Austin.
Seriously? Damn.
Yo, I can't believe that he did that. I was going to say Ocho, man.
Okay.
I can't believe he did.
Ocho Cinco. We're going to say that, and then he probably be deactivated for the game.
He's going to do something dumb tonight, though. And me,
Kyle Arrington. Yo, Kyle Arrington, shout out to the DMZ.
I got Rain Man face. Rain Man face. I got MVP holding.
All right, I got Julian Edelman, and I'm dead serious.
Come on, man.
He gonna catch a touchdown. He gonna get a pick. Yo, and he gonna run a kickback.
And he gonna run
Desmond
a kickback.
He's gonna Desmond Howard this game.
He's gonna be on his booby Molly, John.
All right, so, you know, we see how we are on Sunday. See if we still got the same.
Matter of fact, everybody listen to this live on the podcast. Check back with us Sunday because I'll probably switch everything I just said over the last 2 hours.
All right.
At any rate, thanks for joining us in a warm this evening for our second annual Super Bowl Spectacular. Special thanks to everyone who weighed in our chat room, Facebook, even those that were sending slanderous messages. Change your avatar pick, you noodle. And everybody else, just thank you. Tune in Sunday. That's right, Super Bowl Sunday at 3:30 p.m. for our hour and a half Super Bowl pregame show. We'll give our last-minute thoughts on the game, and we'll have a couple guest analysts with us to get their take on the matchup, so you don't want to miss that. So check us out on Sunday, everybody. Until then, find us on the web.
Peace.
Simon cut vocals, carved sculptures, dancing hostess, Max and 4/5, do clap ferocious. We smoke splits, when it's rose lit, hoes get hit, have them blow dick, blow the whole clique, Jeep Tahoe.
shoes be Salvatore Ferragamo. Catch a homo, guns long like Mutombo. From Atlanta Hawk, rap phantom stalk y'all. While we ban the pork door, Ferrari torch y'all. The guard sports all, Dijon, four wear, push the range all year. Vision of war near, I lay it out for y'all. It's money and knife, that's how I'm running your wife. Stay whipping that bite, clipping your life. Down the pipe size, firm slice pops, couple trice guys, and tinted up white five.
Who's the first to set it? At times, my thirst pathetic. Nature, one of the firm, I work phonetic. At seven digits, first class trips with some I never visit. Outlook remains pessimistic, used to jostle in hostile environments, buying whips. Cheating life out of its requirements. Psychics predict that I'll be dying rich. Until then, catch me chilling, flying in a giant stick. On some next shit. Went from humble, now it's hectic. Reminiscing when they used to call me desperate. Minor drawbacks. I had to learn not to fuck with small cats and fake Cartiers and straw hats. Stick them on a mixtape, they think they all that, but just feeding through. Never sounding reasonable, son. Whatever the cost, I know it's feasible. Fought your way in the game, the race is easy.
Stock bonds, I own corporate, rock for lost shit. Filthy rich from coke endorsements, you must have lost sense. My whole firm, we work with offense. I push the poor spent, fuck your main bitch off your expense. Laws intense, high base, death throughout the dry state. Who lies, eight, 98 lakhs in wild place. Well modernized, wide body cut with fathering eyes. You fall behind, I'm rocking reptiles, you still incarcinized. Guard your eyes, mystical movements, hard to size. We harmonize the fluids from forces way beyond the skies. Love position, parlaying, ducking truck evictions. Dug intentions every few months. Others missing his principles, master my square. No identicals, invincible. I figure you wise, so play it sensible.
We keep going hard.
Corporate world.
You know what I mean?
I hope they ready for a firm nigga. They ready for a firm nigga?
I mean, I don't think so. So hold on. Pull that.
I don't think there's no other families out there.
They leave
them. That have the strength to survive in today's game.
I'm dead. Playing with big boys now, man. Either recognize or feel what we trying to do. Or either feel what we trying to do.